So he came for something, and he didn't come at the woman bawl and cry, and he couldn't sympathize with the woman. Well, she couldn't pay, or she didn't have all the money. That didn't move him. The very word there in the Bible for credit in the Hebrew is one who exacts. A type of the law. He exacts what is rightfully his. He speaks of God's justice. The judge that can bring condemnation. See? The law proves that we are a sinner. And so in this little story, the first man we see who is bringing the agony upon the woman's life was the creditor. It wasn't just the fact that she had no money. It was because the creditor, but you couldn't pay him, he'd take him in captivity. And because she was unable to satisfy the demands of the creditor, she couldn't meet his demands. She was had no power of her own to satisfy what he was requiring of her. Like every one of us, the whole world was concluded to be guilty and condemned all of sin. Who say all of us sin? The law, the scripture concluded all under sin. By the law we were made sinners, amen. See, no, every man was shut up unto the fate. And so when the creditor came, you see, the creditor is the one you owe the debt to. She became into debt, and becoming under the bondage of a debt, she owed a debt that she could not pay. You getting the picture now? And this man was determined to exact the last penny. And I could see she started to pick up all them little cents under the pillowcase, under the mattress. She said, yeah, I just have a few coins over here. Should I bring that out? It just couldn't meet. But you look at her with stern eyes. And you say, lady, bring the boys out. Maybe she had them hiding under the bed or something. Boy, the law find them wherever they was. You can't hide from the law, brother. Not the arm of the law is long. Amen. Brought them out to the hiding place. And I could see the terror on the boy's face. And I could see, brother, he began to tie them up. And began to bind them up. And the law was taking them away into captivity. To be slave, to be in bondage. That's where it took Adam, friend. That's why it took Eve. It took everyone into captivity of sin, in the bondage of corruption. Then when they choose law rather than grace, it put everybody under sin. And sure that no man of their own ability, as long as they're born by sex, they was dead and gone. Amen. And so we realize then that the whole human race in captivity, and once you have condemnation, you can't have confidence. And when the law could prove conclusively, you are wrong. You're thinking evil thoughts. You have evil desires. There are law inside of you. You get vexed. Your revenge is going to rise up in you sometimes. You get jealous and envious sometimes. You're going to lust sometimes. But who could come out from under that? Who could come out from under that? Amen. And he bind them up and he was taking them away. And you realize you only had one resort. Oh, God. What am I going to do? I can't pay it. The law have no mercy. The law have no consideration. The law is emotionless. You just pay up the fine or bondage. Oh, brother. Give you a space of time. I'm coming back this evening before the evening shadows fall, they're gone. Oh, my. The woman became frantic. Who am I going to go to? Maybe I should go to my church member. Maybe I'll go to my auntie up the road. Maybe I'll go to my uncle. Maybe I'll have a good lawyer up the road to fight the case or something. Oh, no. Maybe I'll go to the bank and borrow some more money and go further into debt and try to get in a bigger debt to pay a smaller debt. I end up with two debts. Oh, my, what a condition. What a condition. The woman had incurred a debt. No, she, her husband was dead. Is that right? Little type of the church. Husband, in other words, had lived his time out. Husband's time had expired. His time ran out, he was dead. Finished his time, a lot of time. Amen. And now the woman was in debt and bondage. And no husband around. Headless woman for a season. And while she was headless, her children was going to captivity. You getting the picture? Hallelujah! You know a woman like that? Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But suffering grace, Almighty God, who is the husband of the widow and who is the father of the fatherless. Thank you, Jesus. God rich in mercy. Amen. But when the woman love God, gets limited, they couldn't go no more. Time for suffering grace. The headstone, the capstone of grace, was going to come and shout in the grace to say, deliverance is for you, woman. Your children will not go into captivity. Your children shall be restored back to their rightful position. Your children shall be blessed. Your children shall be in your house, free to enjoy your company and your fellowship. Hallelujah. Oh my. Hallelujah. Here come a man come walking. Thank you, Jesus. What time it was? It was in the days after Elijah the prophet had gone to the scene. It was in the days when the 7,000 was called out. It was the time when Ahab and Jezebel was in a union and God was getting ready to feed them systems to the fowls of the and the beasts of the field, because they refused to repent and come back to the message that his vindicated prophet Elijah had repaired the altar at the evening sacrifice and brought them back to show he was the one true God. God is going to raise up a Jehu. Amen. Is that right? But at that time, the communist system, to bring judgment and chastisement for that nation that rejected the message. Elijah had already prophesied judgment on Ahab, America, and on the Vatican, Jezebel. Amen. And God is going to feed them in the supper of the great God. But during that hour, while that 7,000 is holding on to the message of the prophet. Hallelujah. Oh, under economic conditions, many little women were finding the children born from the womb. Children that were forming the inside. Children that went through pain and agony to give birth to, and she tried to raise them. But how good can you raise them, and how good can you sustain them and maintain the needs? How can you do it without the husband around? When the husband, that was the husband role. That was the role of the husband. Hallelujah! To bring protection, to provide, to supply the need. Amen. To stand as the authority, as the head. Glory be to God. But he had lived his time out. Oh my. And here was a woman in the train going in bondage. And she said, Well, children, mommy love you all. Remember one of these days, you're gonna come back out. I hate to see all you go like that. But after all, what we'll do, I can't do nothing. I guess it's chastisement, because God's word in Deuteronomy 28 says that you're going to bear children, but you will not enjoy them. You will have sons, you'll have daughters, they'll go into captivity. If when you go in that land, you don't hearken to my voice. We see so many beasts of the field. We see so many children born in this land going into captivity. Is that right? We see all kind of forms of bondage, music bondage, fashion bondage, sports bondage, all kind of worldly bondage, amen. But in all different areas of Satan's great big slave market, is that right? He's holding them there in captivity. But that woman wasn't going to settle, not my children. Amen. I'm going to call upon God. Amen. I'm going to get desperate. Amen. But a crisis has struck the woman. Amen. She wanted to see the home stay together. She wanted to see the children stay together. She wanted to see joy and peace. She wanted to have fellowship. Glory be to God. Where they could stay in unity and not be broken up into divisions. Amen. She wanted to see them together. Glory be to God, because she knew all wasn't lost. She don't want to go back in that Jezebel system. Amen. They want to say true to what Elijah the prophet had brought. Hallelujah. And so here was the woman. But she was watching them children like the church tonight. You see this little one, the devil trying to spin a web around them. Devil trying to pull this one into all kind of worldliness. Devil want to make this one go into adultery. Devil want to make this one go into gambling. Devil want to make this one walk by sight instead of faith. Devil want to make this one back up on the word because too much of pressure. Amen. And the church, the woman begin to cry, oh, not my sons. Amen. I won't give them up like that. God is more than able. I'm going to trust God to the uttermost. Amen. I'm going to believe God. Amen. I'm going to believe God will break them powers. I don't know how he shall supply it. But if it's grace, I don't want to think about it. Is it unmerited favor? I'm looking to a God who's all sufficient. Hallelujah. And so she was believing. She was believing. Amen. She was in a crisis. Amen. the creditor was coming to lay claim upon her sons. She couldn't satisfy the just demand of the law. She had given birth to them. They looked like they had liberty for a season, but then they're dropping down into a lower order, from freedom into bondage. Amen. It seemed like the home was going to be broken up. It seemed like the children was going to be scattered and degraded and humiliated. Amen. And the name of the Lord dragged in the mud. Amen. And the name of the family that they have and the reputation of the family, to see all that go down the drain. Oh my, she became desperate. And faith takes a hold when desperation is behind it. So we see the creditor, merciless, hard, no grace. All they can do is put you in prison and they can't take you out. All they can do is bring condemnation, threaten you with fear, terrorize your mind. We can almost hardly stand with confidence. And here come grace, grace come walking. Hallelujah! Glory! The anointing of the prophet was still in the land. The spirit, because Elijah and Elisha, the type of Jesus and the bride. Is that right? Jesus ascended on high after he crossed the Jordan. He crossed Jordan. Is that right? He died. He ascended on high. He sent back the Holy Spirit on the church. Elijah came back. He did a double portion of what Elijah did. Is that right? Glory, amen. It's a type for this day, because the same ministry of the Son of Man repeats again, as it was in Alpha, so shall it be in Omega. Glory. Don't just get caught up in the excitement. Listen to the thoughts too. Is the thoughts have the power? Is the thoughts going to help you tomorrow when this atmosphere way off? Is the same thoughts becoming spirit and life in you next week and next month will keep you, keeping your revival on the inside? There's no prevailing powers, the revelation of the word. Catch that faith. It's a faith he's talking about here. It's a relationship. It's a life of liberty without condemnation. Never to go back in bondage no more. Enough to pay a debt and enough to live on afterwards. Hallelujah! This grace producing what you have need to face your challenge. This grace to take you out of your crisis. This grace to solve your problems. Then after the creditor and the woman, we see the prophet coming in the scene. Elijah, type of the real bride. Amen. Prophetic inside bride. Glory. Here he comes walking the scene. As he comes walking, he comes with a message of grace to the woman. He comes with a message that opens up to the woman how the just demands of the law can be met. How liberty is going to come for the two boys, and they will not go into captivity. How your debts is going to be settled. How you will have power to live. Amen. Elisha had a message that was covering these points. Hallelujah. He had a message that was going to meet those needs and deal with the challenge. That was the challenge. The woman couldn't meet the demands of the law. She was in condemnation. She was in fear. She was in torment. She had no peace. Amen. She needed something to remove the guilt, to remove the fear, to pay the debt. That you could stand and say, bye-bye, Mr. Creditor. Go on your way empty. You're not taking these boys today. These are my boys. Amen. You can't take them. They belong to me. My son can be no drunkard. My daughter can be no prostitute. No, sir. God, give me them. I'm hearing a message that can show me how to come into our power, amen, to take my children out from captivity, to loose them from that bondage, amen, and to give them something to live on, that they will never have to go into bondage. Glory! The prophet message spoke about a pot of oil, spoke about the bringing in of empty vessels. Spoke about the shutting of the door. Spoke about the outpouring after the door was shut. Spoke of the filling of them empty vessels. It spoke on living in liberty and power after your debts are paid. If that ain't a message of grace, I don't know what a message. That's not like grace, grace to me. Amen. That's like a double portion. Because Elisha represented the double portion. How many knows that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. But what I wanted to see now, before all this could be wrought, the woman's faith was and obedience was going to be tested. She couldn't bring the deliverance, but the message that was being spoken by the prophet was going to bring it. But she was going to be tested to see whether she was going to obey it and carry it out exactly the way she was being instructed to do it. It might seem contrary to her, because she, in her mind, her preconcept of the oil was that if I know that was the solution to my problem laying there all the time, I wouldn't even come to you. But because she underestimated the value of it, she didn't know how to use it. Amen. She didn't know how to apply it. She didn't know how to get it to work. Amen. To take care of every doubt, every debt. Amen. Glory. Two is very close, and it's from the same tree. Doubt and debt. It's when you doubt, it's going to debt. Amen. Yes, when you believe, it's come out of debt. Hallelujah. Have faith in God, for all things are possible. You believe, faith have virtue in it. Worry have no virtue. Fear have no virtue. That can't do nothing for you, friend. But if you believe, amen, Jesus can come on this scene and change things, amen. Something good always happens when he comes on the scene. So let's look at the story. We get the drama. I kind of get your mind focused to the characters in the drama. The creditor, who he represents. The woman, who she represents. The children that is born from a womb. Amen. The prophet with a message of grace that is coming to meet the need in her life. To remove all the terror from her wrong and bring peace. Bring joy. Bring rest. Take away the torment. Take away the condemnation. Pay what the creditor demands. Glory. As the shutting of the door. Amen. The outpouring of the oil. The filling of the empty vessels. Amen. The living and the power after the debt is paid. So we see the drama. Amen. It's a great drama. And it's a drama that we are looking at here, because what is actually happening? We've been speaking about this Jubilee time. It's a great time, friend. And you have to catch the inspiration of it. You have to catch the scripture. You have to catch what the voice of God is saying. At night after night, day after day, when the message comes, and it comes filtering through the Bible and the message of the hour, and it breaks out before you, upon your heart, and you're hearing the words that is being trumpeted out to you. It is proclaiming liberty. Amen. It's showing you how to open that prison door. How it's been opened up for you. How to come out from where you were shut up. And how to come into the faith that it is telling you about. Showing you how it's going to bring you back to your rightful possessions and your position. Amen. That's a great thing now. That's a very great thing. You know, I told you how Brother Abraham, you know, in 1954, he went different places. Then 1962, he went to another place, because the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the Western world. Start at the turn of the 20th century, when the Pentecostal revival started to break. They thought it was the restoration. So they said, they call us a Pentecostals. It's a praise God, we have our upon the Spirit. But it's in your rainy season, you don't get one rain. Rain don't fall one day. When you have rain, so in your rainy season, rain will fall in Guayaquil. There are no rain down in San Fernando. Then rain falls in Port of Spain. Next thing you hear, rain falling. Sometimes it falls so hard, it showing the whole nation wet. Sometimes it falls so long. It falls 2-3 days without stopping, until all the rivers and everything get full up. See? But sometimes it just fall in little local areas. It's just that place get under the shower. But then afterwards, when you run your map for the season where the rain was promised to be poured out, you can see how rain was distributed by God to the entire land. You can see where it needed more rainfall. God give more rainfall. No, that's a principle in the Bible. Maybe you never follow it close. It says, God withheld the showers. He said, there shall be showers of blessing. See, Brother Abraham talked about how Abraham received different showers. But then he came to the last shower where he was changed. Amen. There are different showers in a person's life. Because in one season, God brings a former rain. In another season, he brings the former and the latter rain together. Your former rain is your teaching rain. Like Moses, when he went forth, Moses had dynamics and mechanics. He was doing signs and wonders. Not Joshua and Caleb and them. Moses was doing it. Moses was turning his rod to a snake. Moses' hand turned to leprosy. Nobody else couldn't impersonate those things. Giants and Jabez tried. And then the folly was made manifest afterwards. Because it only showed they were trying to impersonate what Moses was doing. Because it was dispensational miracles. It was conjunction miracles. Amen. To vindicate a commission where God is going to fulfill a promise to a people at that junction of time. And so you find in the Bible after that, it come down through different places in the Bible, and we see from there, you know, it comes to Elijah time. And he did great dispensational miracles and so on. You know, Elisha didn't do it right away. See, Moses went for preaching the gospel, he's planting seed. He had the two rains together, but there was only getting one rain with a promise of the other rain. So, but the time came when Joshua did what Moses did. He was baptized under Moses' baptism, is that right? He come to the Red Sea. He come to the wilderness, get purged out. He cross over Jordan, is that right? And then he come over into his placing, and then he said, I'll do what the prophet was doing. Is that right? Caleb went and take his mountain the same way too. He knew what the word had said about him. He knew the time and season to claim it. And he proved he had the faith. He proved he was strong this day for war. He drove out the Anakin and take it. Look at Elisha. Elijah calling rain out of the sky. Calling fire out of the sky the same day. Being translated. Calling fire, burning up troops. You don't mean Elisha do nothing. He just pouring water in the hands of Elijah. He's following him around. He's getting taught. The word has been planted inside of him. He's getting a former rain, a promise. Then finally, he realized he don't want to live on mechanics alone. He said, I want a double portion of what you have. I want some of your latter rain. I want some of your dynamics. That what is make the word live inside of you. I hear it. You preach it nice, but I want some of that. Amen. Because see, you have something. Glory. Then the time came. Elisha was doing the same thing Elijah did. Is that right? Look at Jesus with the apostles while he was walking with them. They wasn't doing what he was doing. Young rabbi went out, started healing revival. 7,000 gathered here. You don't hear them gathering those 7,000 thing. You don't hear them healing all the people of all the diseases. After he trained them, he sent them out 2 by 2. And they get a little anointing. One or two devils get cast out. They start to run and get shout and everything, thinking they had what he had. But that was just something before the power really fell. Because even though they had that, they was rejoicing for the wrong thing. And he said, don't rejoice, the devil is subject to you. Rejoice, your name is in the book. Because it's already getting puffed up. It's already saying, who will be in charge when he leave? And he found pride among them. He found jealousy among them. Is that right? Then the backslide afterwards. Went back fishing and everything else. And he had to come back on the Sea of Tiberias and get them. But in the upper room, what happened? Peter says, such as I have, give I unto you. Rise up and walk. He put them out just like in Jairus' house, in Dorcas' house, and raised Dorcas back to life. Just like Jesus did back in Jairus' house. Is that right? Paul says, sir, I perceive you have faith in me here. Rise to your feet. Man, drop down dead out to the window. Paul runs and raise him back to life. Start back over the service again. Praise God. Amen. Like normal everyday living. Why? They come true. You see, when God sends a messenger with both reins, he plants one and he puts them on the expectation for the next one. But because they are the elect under that ministry, they will come into them two reins. And that's why he has promised us the dynamics shall be refilled in the Holy Ghost. That latter rain will fall and plant to the word. You'll have a outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will do it. Not just make you happy, it will. That will bring the restoration. That will bring you right back to stand in that place. Such a measured pour, shower after shower after shower. Amen. Glory. When this year started, we desire to have some water and planted word. We find, okay, it's time, God, send them some little outpourings. Amen. That'll quicken the word inside. That'll make the word move. You don't want to think about the word and the condition come and you can't face the condition. You want when the condition comes, the word jumps out and deal with the condition. Hallelujah. You're not trying to figure out what scripture. No, faith begin to operate. Virtue, amen, it can strengthen those around you. Knowledge to know where that fit in the Bible. Amen, leave this alone. Why? Because you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen, you have the mind of Christ. You know what he wants done with the word. You have knowledge quickened inside of you, temperance. You're not going to go and try to make a show so to be exalted over people. You're not going to go and pick a fight with somebody to show you have more power than them. No, temperance. If God will tell you nothing, you don't do nothing. Slap you in the face, you don't smite them blind faith. You take it and you go. Temperance. Not easily provoked. Doesn't behave yourself unseemly. You're waiting for orders. Let Dr. David say he's a fanatic and it's false. Let Dr. Best, amen, tell you that the devil you're a fortune teller reading the people's minds. You're not going to pick a fight. Hallelujah. You're not going to prove that you're a prophet and you know all the scriptures and tie them up. No, sir. He says, I preach divine healing. I don't claim to be a divine healer. My brother preach salvation. He don't claim to be a divine savior. God gave wisdom to settle it. Nice and easy, amen. When you have to speak, you want God to speak for you. When that pillar fasted a hold on, he says, okay, it's over. He said, he's here now. Amen. Hey, ain't no more argument now. I said, God in the mercy seat here. But now the Shekinah glory himself come in the wing of the cherubim. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the voice will speak from the excellent glory. So what we are looking at, friends. And that's why this, what we're talking about, Jubilee, is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. The baptism of the Holy Ghost being poured out to bring total deliverance and restoration back to the promises. That's the very inheritance. That's the very revelation of Jesus Christ to be formed inside of you. Amen. To be manifested in you and through you. Amen. To display Jesus Christ to this generation. It's not just saying something, because in the Old Testament, the priest couldn't do it. See? He blew the trumpet, but he couldn't take the man out. See? But the Holy Spirit, he comes down there. The law of the Spirit of life is what is making you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. When you're trying to fight up with it, you know, in your own strength, and you've been taken to captivity into fear and bondage, and you try to do good and evil is present with you, and end up doing that which is wrong instead of that which is right. And you say, I know the word, but I just can't live it when the condition come. I know it's right, but I just have the power to execute the thing. I know that the devil there, but I don't have power to resist him to make him flee from me. So I find myself compromising. I find myself being influenced. I find myself double-minded sometimes. I find I don't have the boldness to say what I should say. I find I'm not quick enough to read the situation. I don't have knowledge to give me the insight into what's going on. Sometimes I apply something and I pull the wrong scripture. Sometimes I go and condemn the person, and that's not the case at all. I ain't reading the thing right. Then even when I go back and say, sorry, I misread the thing, I find it even harder to confess. And I realize I'm not confessing power yet. Amen. You talk about Holy Ghost, friends. We're not talking about the manifestation. Manifestation and action coming together. Amen. Yes, sir. Life every day, every circumstance. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, bring it under control, and then signs, wonders, and miracles too. And then gifts operating to wisdom and faith and knowledge and all these things. Amen. Glory. God in his sovereignty, operating in his people, in his church, showing he's God, the omnipotent God, the almighty God. Glory. And when that Holy Spirit had a pout, they taught the restoration. They didn't understand you have to have two rains, a teaching rain and then a harvest rain to bring up your crop. They had a rain that brought manifestation, but out of an unconverted life. And confused the prophet when he went among them. He said, this man here, speaking tongues, this man here prophesied. He said, I talk to this man, he's a true blue Christian, talk to this other man, he's a hypocrite. There's something wrong. See, I'm a fundamentalist. That had to come out of the Bible for me. So he going up there and said, see God, Lord, where is that in the Bible? You can find it. Holy Spirit come, begin to blow the pages. Whoosh, whoosh. Turn it to Hebrews 6. And Paul had it right there in Hebrews 6. See? And he saw it. And the vision broke. And when the vision broke, he saw a man go on planting. He saw another man come planting afterwards. He saw rain begin to come down. He saw both weeds and tears coming up together and both rejoicing in the same rain. He understood it.
He understood it. That in these last days, you want the anointing, but you don't want it in an unconverted life. You don't want it just in the flesh. You don't just want it in the spirit. You want it down to the depth of the soul, that you are looking to see the fruit that the life is supposed to bring forth come out of you. You want to see a life that's going to lead you into the word, that you're going to know that word, and you're going to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to have such a holy man taste, such a desire to please him and live for him. Amen. But the slightest thing you do wrong, it convicts you and checks you back to the word. And you want to see relationship maintained with God. Fellowship maintained with God. Where he could come to you and walk with you and talk to you. We could talk to you about eternal life. We could talk to you about things in the other civilization that is coming. Not just about job and car and clothes and little passions in the body. Not just that, but where you're going to be in the new civilization. Because when he's talking that to you, he's talking to you as one who is eternal. He's expressing that you are eternal. Didn't he do that to his apostles? He said, you will sit with me judging 12 tribes in the regeneration, in the new world order that is to come. You will be there with me, amen. Because you forsake father and mother, houses and lands in the life, in the world to come. You'll have that plus. Is that right? He said, talk to them about the name of the Lamb, book alive. Glory. That was the thing that anchored them. That was the thing that tied them together. So it's not strange to think it is wrong to say that this is a Jubilee year. That is perfectly right. All I have to do is take this Jubilee year 1954 and this other Jubilee year 1962 and read both of them. He was in two different places and he's preaching it where he had an outpouring 50 years before upon that place, and he was telling him, this is Jubilee year. And that angel who came down that cave 1946, brother, let me tell you, it's 50 years, 1996. That was the beginning of this ministry. We are in the end part of the ministry. It is the young rabbi that went out. It's the ministry of the Son of Man, where the young rabbi went out healing the sick. First Paul. Second Paul, discerning the hearts, rebuking the organizations. Third Paul, the spoken word, the opening of the word, bringing down to the preaching to the lost. The last part where we are coming in. So this Jubilee is perfectly scripture. God remembers his word. God remembers his message. If the prophet could tell them Pentecostals what they had was Jubilee 50 years and the Holy Ghost fell, how much more is this Jubilee? Amen. Which they was thinking that they had this. But this didn't come until after 40 years after, when all the elected Pentecostals had died out. Brother Bramson Smith would die one night. Charles Price died the next night. Amy Semple McPherson died the next time. And then the angel came to me and the 6-point star David was hanging in Palestine and said, go out now. Exactly right. You'll have two signs to confirm your commission, like the prophet Moses received two signs. Israel is in the homeland. The church was in Laodicea. The world was in Sodom. And here's a prophet going out now. A calling out age. A one-man move like Eliezer, like John. Amen. With a promise that a message was going to come forth. We are told on the river, your message will forerun the second coming. But he went over with gifts to attract the attention, to get them ready for the voice. And here we are, still in the voice. Because when you hit the voice breaks up into shout, voice, and trump. Because all is his voice. Shout part of the message, opening the seven seals, tying the Bible together to restore the original faith, to bring back one Lord, one faith, one baptism in the last days, to finish up the mysteries and lay the thing naked and bare, thoroughly vindicated. Then when the voice part comes, pick out the prophetic part and leave the historical part. Amen. And show the continuity between the historical part and the prophetic part, and where the prophetic part is becoming history in the many-membered body. Because for years, all people could see was the historical part. God sent a prophet, denomination force, come out. But in there had a prophecy, there'll be a super race, there'll be a super church. When that branch come out of the root, it'll bear the same kind of fruit. Amen. He planted the former rain, and with a promise that the former and latter rain will come on the same season, and the harvest rain is the rapturing faith. That's them seven thunders. That harvest rain, when it's coming forth, is those seven thunders. Bringing forth the full mystery of God, the fullness of the atonement, with the fullness of the redemptive blessing that lays in the atonement coming forth together. That the people is not coming forth to be identified part of the atonement, not with substitute atonement, but with the original atonement they're coming to be identified with. The whole lamb. The same lamb that covers you is the same lamb you're feeding on. Is that right? In Egypt, the lamb had to cover them the blood, and they had to eat the very lamb too. And the same word you're feeding on, the same word that covers you, the same word that bled for you. Amen. Is it not a man you're feeding on? It's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. This message reveals him. And so, he brought those things there, which I wanted to read a quote. Just let me see what time I have left here. On this, you see, I wanted to get that point in. So you don't think that somebody just trying to put you happy and get you a little excited. This is not platform performances. This is divine revelation. That's why tonight I just felt led to go in the Old Testament and preach it out as drama instead of going the New Testament and preach it as doctrinal things. You can see the reality we're talking about. But that drama is in the days after Elijah the prophet. When God is getting ready to feed Ahab and Jezebel, by the time we reach 2 Kings 9, Jezebel is being eaten. This Jezebel system in this day will be eaten. Revelation 19, you feed them, come to the supper of the great God. And that is why, friends, with that spirit in the land, where you see these things happening, you see churches giving birth to children, those children going to captivity into bondage. Why? Because the church, the woman herself, is unable to meet the very demand to release them from the bondage. But then God, rich in mercy, his unmerited favor. Hear the cry of a widow whose husband is dead. Hear the cry of a woman whose children. Bible didn't say she come and she kind of bargain and politic. It says she cried. She cried to him. She didn't go to the banker, friends. And I want to strike something here because this is an hour where a lot of people is getting a natural death too. You know, the whole world is being trapped into debt. You know, all this economy that they so supposedly free up, all this bankyard you could get now, all this different thing, you know, that is designed to put you in debt and hold you in debt. That is to make you spend more than you're earning. We just talk about America bankrupt. What by what principle would they bankrupt? They spend more than they work for. It is a system designed to play on man, greed, and covetousness. And when you see people have a desire for this and a desire for that, why? Because they want to compete with this one, they want to compete with that one. They can't be contented. They trust in uncertain riches. They behave like health is their own next month. They behave like because they do not, the economy will be held up next month. And then, and when the banks had to claim back the car, and they had to claim back the house, and they had to claim back, is not children alone going to captivity then? Then the creditors are coming for everything too. And why I think people are going to stay in the system and can't come up? Because you can't buy or sell. And when they see famine, when they see, but they have to leave everything, possessions, that is where the test comes. Sometimes lack of proper financial management throws people into debt. She came into bondage of the creditor. She and the boys wasn't working for enough. And they're going to further debt. And the creditor is sly. He was taking control of them slowly. And he was tightening the bands around them. And by the time he called for a new period, you just get the bills, say them. Due to global inflation. And change, you know, in the insurance, you know, realm, whatever word is, highfalutin word is used. your insurance premium now goes up by 10%. And due to, you know, a very fragile exchange rate at present, you know, the banks, to secure their investment, have to, you know, raise up 2 more percent. That would trap you, make you a debtor, and then the creditor holds you. And let me tell you, if a financial credit ever holds you, and possessions that you labor and sacrifice for begin to flee away from you, and you hear they're going to put it up for sale. Think if that brings a terror on a man, what about is when you're cheering? What about magnified when the law was taking man into condemnation and debt? Think of it. Amen? Sometimes slothfulness to work. Laziness. Sweetness in the blood. People don't just get into debt. Because they want to wear the best. They want $600 sneakers. But when time to work, they find the work too hard. It's too much of work. And if they really getting paid for what they're working for, really, then it's a year to go work for almost before they pay for that $600 sneakers. Because I service the working with half the time. Sometimes fear and lack of faith just throw people into debt. They don't trust God enough. They have to believe God. Sometimes the doctor eat up all the money. Because they have a little faith, they could apply the blood. They could apply the word to the condition. And them doctor like a big Dr. Palmer worm, eating up the fruit of your labor. Amen. Yes, sir. Some of them evil habits just throw people into debt. They can't control their appetites. Before they get a salary, they don't half it already. Friday, them they get, they're going to pay off this one, pay off this one, pay off this one. So, sometimes they want to eat it and keep it too, so that they're dodging, they become a dodger afterwards. You ever seen certain shop, they pop on the list? Bad pay! And then I write the people's name inside here. The creditor is getting angry! Well, if you understand the principle that a man gets into financial debt by, you understand now how man gets into spiritual debt back in the Garden of Eden. Adam was rich. Adam had dominion. Adam had unsearchable riches. Adam was a king of our kingdom. Adam owned everything that was given to him. He inherited it from God. And then he fell to poverty, whereby the sweat of his brow, he had to till the soil, and it was already cursed that he couldn't even get the full benefit from it after sweating and laboring. Sometimes failure to honor God with your substance just throw people into debt. Exactly. And so, friends, when you see the creditor came, all God's children, every one of us was under debt. We were debtors to the law. We were debtors to God's justice. See? Because every one of us was guilty of breaking that very law. And we become prisoners to it. From the time we're born, we're going to grow up. That's why the gospel has to preach, to reveal to us we need to repent. And had to show to us the death, burial, and resurrection to show us we need to be baptized, to come into identification with that. To show to us the purpose of the blood, to bring cleansing in our life. And the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come back, to give us power to live, that we'll not go back into the bondage we were in before we had seen that very atonement that was made for us. See? Because the Bible says, for we were by nature, say, children of wrath, even as others. What made us children of wrath? Because we're under God's justice. What brought us under God's justice? Because we broke God's law. What made us broke God's law? Because man fell into debt by coming by sex. By being born by sex, he fell into debt. He was supposed to come by the spoken word. And he came with a sinful nature that couldn't please God. He was born alienated from the life of God. He came with a carnal nature, a beastly nature.
sensual, devilish, selfish. Work every scheme to satisfy their own lust and their own desire. A nature that's in rebellion to God. See? Watch. But then, we'd have stayed under God's justice if the redemption price wasn't paid. Why are we rejoicing tonight? Because grace came on the scene. Because God and mercy came on the scene to pay our redemption price. No. I'm working my way back around to come back to this woman here in the Bible to show you how they get into the debt. To show you how they get into the bondage. And to show you where they were at. And why they needed a price paid. But how they paid the price to bring the children who are going to go into captivity. And if your children are going to go into captivity or any form of bondage tonight, or you going to go into captivity or any form of bondage tonight, the only way you can come out of it is the way that you want to come out of it. It don't have two and three ways. All these was showing for showing the one way. Because this is revealing Christ. And it's showing you in this day how you're coming out of it in this day. It's going to take some empty vessels. It's going to take some pouring of the oil. It will take having the right estimation, the right value of what the oil is and what the oil can do. It's because she didn't know the value of the oil. Catch this real good. You see, what appeared to be of no worth. Last week I was preaching here, right? You remember? And I struck something, and everybody get kind of quiet. Because it kind of pinched some of you. I'm not mean with you, but you're my brother and my sister. And I have to preach you the truth. And if you come out to the Bible, then it's no longer me. It's God's word. At least for one, you could say, he said what God say. Maybe I can't live it, but he ain't wrong. Because he said what God say. If you don't try to find fault with me when I say what God say, then you'll be in trouble. Because then you will be wanting your own way above the word. And I was talking about working women, right? I want to say it soft tonight. Because I said it hard last week. Because I want to bring a point here. But I want to give you a way to come out. I want to give you something to give your faith and to give your husband's faith. Because sometimes if your husband's had a woman in that. Because they don't have enough faith and they can't take the place of a man. Is what it really is. And they overpower the whole thing with reasoning and explain away God's word what it means. After a vindicated prophet spoke it and the pillar of fire come down and honor it. Then what we do individually is what denominational preachers do to the whole congregation. Deceive the heirs of the congregation. So a man goes to deceive the heirs of his wife and his children by teaching them something false. When he knows he's trying to explain away God's word. He's no different to somebody in denomination. Matthew 24:24. Because you shouldn't be doing that. You say, honey, we got to get out of this thing. You got to get in your place, I'll get my place. And if we hear in this word and this word say that ability is not atonement, we can rise to that spot and live this life because God wants to give us that measure. And we see God promised in the Bible. If a man of the Holy Ghost, he cannot disagree with the word of the Holy Ghost, right? And if we, one word took him out of the Garden of Eden, we have to go back with every word. That's the only way we can go back. Read Harvest Time and see if I'm quoting. Read the message of Harvest Time. Man shall never be burdened by every word. That's why in the end of the Bible it says, you add one word or take away one word, all the plague shall be added. That's why I see people don't prosper spiritually. They labor in for me that perisheth. And I say, you'd be foolish to trying to break God's word up right now and then save it up for the Pope. And by the time the Pope ready to bring on the squeeze, he's going to take everything and then you break up all God's word and you ain't get to spend it. So I say, do like John Wesley. Spend as much as you can, save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. Sure. Because mammon ain't God. You're going to find out that now. This woman didn't go to the creditor no more. She got into trouble because she was going to the creditor. And the one she went to is the one who put her in bondage. But revelation struck her in her darkest hour. And this time she went to the man of God instead of the man of money. And when she came to the man of God, she's approaching God, gift now with reverence and respect. She was coming with confidence that that's a channel that she was, that God was accessible to her through that office. Is that right? Bible now. And watch me now. He didn't just give her, like what a bank would have give her, a little bit just to deal with her situation. And then when she's in more debt, then she had to go back for further debt. No. What he gave to her, clear off the whole debt, everything, and give her enough to continue to live now without ever going back into bondage. Watch how God is giving, watch how man does give. Now that is put there in the Bible for us to see where we just put our faith. Now I'm a faith preacher. I like to preach faith. You got faith that's come to the world. I ain't this kind of, I feel faith. No. I ain't faith making this world operate. I ain't faith in the rhythm of this world. Every move this world make you fit into it. Amen? Real faith, now Bible faith. Like Jesus living in a world of perfect faith. Where faith can master all circumstances. And remember, he did everything by the word now. Because the word is God. Remember, the word and the spirit is the same. Now watch. So, what appeared to be of no worth to this woman? She said, I have nothing but a little pot of oil. See? She never considered that the solution to her problems. The prophet took what she underestimated. The prophet took the thing that she didn't choose to work with and said, work with that. And you'll clear up all your debt and you'll have enough to live on. And you'll never be in debt again. You'll be debt free. He are going to give you a stable economy. I ain't just giving you enough to ease your pressure. Because you see the creditor handling the two boy already. Oh, the repossessor, someone to reclaim this. Oh, the bank rate just went up. So you tell your wife, you will stop working by July. But the bank rate go up. You say, honey, you got to change that. If the bank rate change, you'll try to come up in December. And the devil keep dancing like that over and over and over. Because you're on faith. You see? Now what? I'm preaching twofold here, you know. Preaching natural death and spiritual death together. But I'm trying to show you, the woman was loose from it. It turned out to be an experience that the woman had to there she got her revelation of God's grace. Is there she got the revelation of the power that can loose the chain of captivity. Is there she got the revelation. And that's why when these conditions come in your life, it is there God is coming down to perform the supernatural and show you he's your powerful God working right there in your life. But you see, when you have God, God is church. This is my job. This is my finances here. This is my spiritual life here. And you divide up your life in 4 and 5. Which I know, which, how that is Maccabees Bible, which Bible, that is Ramayana, that's more like Ramayana to me. Amen. You know the Bible at all. See? Because it's one life. You offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You're coming to full surrender to God. Your entire being surrendered to the word of God. And that's just different realms. Amen. But it's the same God who has blessed your finances, same God who has given you health, same God who has given you clothes and shoes on your feet, same God who gave food for your children, same God who gave a shelter over your head, same God who gave transportation. Amen! Seek for the kingdom of God and I'll supply all your other needs after that. Time to have faith now because this message comes to bring perfect faith. This message comes to bring rapture in faith. Do we qualify for rapture in faith? Are we getting ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are we emptying out the vessel tonight? Amen! Hallelujah! Watch. She never considered that the solution to her problems. And many people, they underestimate the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in the house. But they underestimate it. As being the thing that could lead them out to the financial troubles, lead them out to the domestic troubles, lead them out to the social troubles, lead them out to the work troubles. They underestimate the Holy Ghost. So on the work, they go to the union leader. On the finances, they go to the bank manager. On the medicine life, they go to the doctor. But this woman had to get a revelation. You come to the man of God. You come to the office. Because you either you're in God economy or in man economy. You're in man economy, live under man laws. You're in God economy, benefit from God provision. Exactly. When this pillar of fire, this headship came back in this day, read it, Christ the mystery of God revealed. See, he doesn't say it. We are back under theocracy. God is the head of his church now. All the kingdom of this world become naught.
all denomination become naught. Every system that governs the life of his believers become naught, and he becomes the head. She comes into union with him. She go along and try to live as peaceably as she can, as we time to go against God's word. She shows who her husband and who her head is. She do deny him for her system. So she underestimated. And let me tell you, why are you going to that many times? Why are you going to problems many times? Why are you children in captivity many times? You're underestimating the Holy Spirit. You say, I know God, big believer, I only have a little measure. Yeah, but that little measure, let God start to work with that little measure. You see the kind of deliverance that God could do. You see the kind of powers God could bring. You see the kind of peace God could establish. You can see the kind of restoration that God could bring when you let God work with that little measure. See? But now watch. God now, through the prophet, was now instructing her like I'm trying to instruct you now. Don't underestimate the little Holy Ghost. Don't put that behind you and then take the bank manager opinion or the doctor opinion or the psychiatrist opinion or the boss opinion above the Holy Ghost. Don't do that. That's what she was doing. When he come, he took the thing that she underestimated and didn't attach no great value to, and he took that thing to show the solution to all your problems in your house all the time. He didn't give her oil, you know, friend. He sure she already had what she needed because of her concept, because of the way she was relating, because of her condition is why she can operate in the way that she was supposed to be operating. He bring her back to faith in the oil. He begin to show by getting empty vessels that's emptied out and by an appointment. Because remember, Jesus Christ, he had the fullness of the Holy Ghost in that corporal body. But in the upper room, he had a lot of other empty vessels. And all the oil that was in that corporal body was being poured out into this mystical body. Is that right? And now for seven church ages, he have kept on pouring out in every age. Is that right? And now the door is fixing to shut. Glory. And here, friends, in the days after the prophet Elijah, just before the doors is getting ready to shut, when God is calling for empty vessels, when there's a promise of an outpouring that is going to bring such deliverance and loose people from such debt, where they'll be living in captivity. And if you're living in captivity tonight, to believe you have to try to fight up to get faith, your faith in captivity. If you can't even release yourself and express your joy, something is wrong. If you don't have freedom in your own spirit, see, and you feel oppressed and depressed, and you can't pray, or you can't read, you're oppressed, you're falling asleep, you know, the devil have your mind so bombarded, like no strength, you're in captivity. When he was finished, nobody was in captivity. Every vessel was filled. The debt was completely paid, and they was living by the power of the same power that paid the debt was the same power that's living by. You get that? You know, too, Jesus, in that day you will know I'm you and you and me. The very same God that was in Jesus Christ, the very same God will be in you in this hour, living and showing forth his victory. See? One was price. Redemption is what? By blood, by price, and by power. He paid the price, cleared the debt, and then they gave them power to loose them completely to live on the oil afterwards. And when they was living on the oil afterwards, they should have been living on the oil before. And what they thought was little oil, that was the same oil that paid the debt, and that was the same oil that they was living by afterwards. But it was there and they wasn't relating and working with it. It was a neglected thing, and they was going to the creditor because he sung like a man with whatever degree they have in economics. You have a BSc, you have this in economics, you have this degree, and you respect that. And boy, that man is a bank manager, and that man come from UES, and he slated for the central bank, you know, the man, the treasury. And I tell you, when he talk, he really know what he's saying. He knows nothing. God, amen. That's a voice we under.
voice of God that speaks to the word, that brings faith to the heart of the believer, who then, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He'll never see the righteous forsaken, neither the seed begging for bread. But when God says, oh no man, nothing, you're not owing nobody nothing, amen. Not even an apology you're owing, not even a confession you're owing. But no matter how bad attitude, you're going to make that thing right. Amen. You're not owing nothing. Every debt is being cleared up because the power that comes from the oil loose you completely from the captivity. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. By God becoming man, by the oil being poured out into the pot, into the corporal body, he paid the price. And then by the very same oil being poured out into the earthen vessels, the empty earthen vessels. Amen. But he loosed them from their debt and made them live in the liberty and their power. And that's the very thing that has come back in this difference. That we are seeing that this very debt, this credit is not going to have nothing in us. Not our children, not our joy, not our earthly possessions, nothing. What God give us, we're going to enjoy, we're going to benefit from it, because it come from God's hand, and when the Lord take it, he has something else for us. And we're going to keep on walking in deeper experiences. We're not going to get tied to the creation, we are coming to union with the Creator himself. So if you have a fear, and I'm going to try to walk out this year, and I'm going to walk out this, I want to pay off for the car, and I'll pay off for the house. You're going to go in the foot of debt. I'm saying tonight, walk with the oil. I'm saying bring the empty vessels in this house, in this message, where he commanded the blessing, where the outpouring of the oil is taking place in this house, in this message. It's where the outpouring is going to take place, to bring the loosing. Amen. And I'm saying, dear, we come and we empty everything out, and we turn it right side up. And then we need pouring from all over. Every vessel being filled with the oil that come from him, from that main vessel, pouring here, pouring here, pouring here, pouring. Because he is the baptizer. He is the one that fills everyone. Is he give you bone of flesh of his flesh? He give you faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue, knowledge of his knowledge, life of his life, works of his work. Is he give it to you? Our faith and obedience has to be tested. It looked like it was kind of difficult. But that was the thing that she had to be tried, that she had to be tried. She said, that could pay off, that could solve all this. I don't think so. That Holy Ghost is God's friend. That ain't a feeling. That ain't just some little thing. That's God who created the universe. Want to control the inner man to the world. Control your reasoning. Control your imagination. Control your seeing. Control your tasting. Control your faith. He want to bring you under his divine control. As long as I have my God beside me, it's all right. As long as I'm under his control, it's all right. Amen. As long as I have him, friends. He's going to control it with that word. Jesus didn't have to walk around with a bag of bread when you're going to have a meeting. He knew the source to multiply the bread. You want to wait until the squeeze comes to start to learn how to find out to use it? Or you understand that God will prepare people so when the condition comes, the gear just goes in automatic. So when you're evading from this and you're running from this and you're trying to dodge under this and you're trying to put this here, what you're doing? You need paralyzing your own faith. You need weakening your own self. You need lend it shouldn't the credit ain't kind of children alone. He can you too. And like he have you first. See? But watch. A message of grace. Think of it tonight. I say, the success, the deliverance, the debt, the power to live, it lies in this oil. That's what it's like. That's the secret. The whole secret is life. Healing, discernment, revelation, spoken word, resurrection, power of the elements, it all came from him. From the beginning all the way to the end. Nothing injected into it.
He only stop pouring out when there's no more empty vessels. Isn't that a beautiful picture? See now pouring going on in secret that the world knows nothing about? Locked within doors. Seeing a church under the anointing of a message of grace and how to work with the Holy Spirit, know the basis upon which freedom and liberty comes, which the just demands of the law is satisfied, where the children is coming to restoration and there is peace and joy in the home, and the woman under that anointing, under that expectations. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a church in this hour? Isn't that what we desiring? Isn't that what we're longing for? Let us settle up them debts tonight. Let all these debts be settled up tonight. Let's settle up these whole accounts tonight. Amen. All the debts that we can't pay, let that the law of the spirit of life drop in here and pay them debts and loose from them debts. To know you're in bondage to nothing. You have no fear of going back a second time because he give you enough to live on afterwards. When you see the creditor by, say, "Hey, Mr. Creditor, what are you doing these days?" The children happy and smiling. The children, and the creditor vexed because the children are run under the bed and hide. Time you see the creditor come, they bounce their head and they dart somewhere in the bushes. Not even the children are walking around happy. They understand that there's a power in the house to keep them free from debt. Hallelujah. Work with the oil tonight, sisters. Have faith in the oil. Let God instruct you how to use it. The Holy Spirit give you wisdom to clear every debt and then to give you a commodity, give you some stock to go right on, never having to fall. And that will devalue. When God give you from his storehouse, it has no devaluation. Man devaluation will touch that. That's why Elijah could be fed. When Ahab looking for grass all over, he gained 3 square meals a day. Amen! He take the widow meal and oil and multiply it. The same power came back in Jesus. Amen, of Nazareth. Glory! But he multiplied the bread and fish. All through the Bible, friends, watch. This is what we're talking about here. It's a reality. It's a reality tonight. Take courage. Don't be terrified by the circumstances. But the only reason you can have condemnation and fear and doubt is if there is some sin that you are in debt to the devil for. But there's a power here tonight to cancel all them debts. Paid in full! Jesus paid it all! He nailed it on the tree. Long ago when a man had a debt, you know, you tack it up as a said mark, bad debt, right? And when they pay to, they had to put it up the same way too. And that's when Jesus kneeled on the tree. That's all the handwritings and the ordinances against us. He nailed it. He said, "It's paid. I paid it for them." Amen. Completely. The power that came down in that earthen vessel that did a work of redemption. And then that same power that was poured out in empty vessels to make them live in the benefit and the enjoyment after the price was paid to loose them from the debt. And that woman was catching that revelation from the mouth of the prophet in that hour. And her home no longer had fear and torment. Her home had no empty vessels. Everything was filled. Oil was filled with the same kind of oil. With one oil. This is not Baptist oil and Methodist oil and Pentecost and Jehovah's Witness oil and Seventh-day Adventist oil. No. This oil smoking up this thing and this oil smelling bad over here and this oil. One oil. Hallelujah! All get a filling. Glory. Let's sing a little song tonight. Let's worship a little bit. Amen. Bring your empty earthen vessels. Let's just sing a little bit. Amen. Let's get happy a little bit. Amen. Inside of here. Let's have them join the house tonight. You appreciate this word? Amen. Can you tell me the number of song? What number that song is? 100, amen. Praise God. We have some people eat the songbook here. Yes, pick it back up. Praise his wonderful name. Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of your Father. Come according to his word in the blessed old time way. He will fill your heart today to overflowing. As the Lord had commanded you, friends. Amen. Bring it empty. Till it right side up tonight.
Old time way. Fill your your life, friend. He will do it.
Holy, with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, like the cruise of oil and sailing. That's why the story was in the Bible. That's why it was speaking about this day. And his love unchanging still. He's still the same Jesus. And according to his promise, friend.
According to his promise, with the Holy Ghost and power, he will every vessel fill. He will fill your heart today to overflowing as the Lord commanded you.
Oh, bring your vessel. Bring every empty vessel found in the neighborhood. Go and bring them out. Root out the backsliders. Root out the ones who stand away. Bring them. Bring them for a filling. Amen. First an emptying out and then a filling.
Oh, bring your empty open vessels. Empty open vessels.
Oh, come you needy. And in human consecration, that'd be emptying out now. Again, he will fill your heart today. This is that day, friend.
To overflowing as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessel.
Say, I'm yielding, Lord. I'm obeying your word tonight. I'm doing just what you said, Jesus. I ain't holding back no more. I'm going to mix the word with faith because I know you'll keep your promise. Oh, once more, he will fill your heart today. He'll fill my heart. Sing it. My heart today to overflow. As the Lord commanded me.
Commanded me. Bring my vessel, not a few. He will fill my heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my, just think about it. Somebody way back in the Reformer age, reading that scripture, caught something. It struck their heart. They begin to sing about it. They didn't know who Ahab was. They didn't see Jezebel on the throne. They didn't see the prophet Elijah repair the altar, the evening sacrifice. But yet they write the song. Something thrilled their heart. Here we in the very hour, friend. He's speaking about us. We understand what is happening. Amen. The drama has been made real all around us. Now we can know we are walking the season of the word. Hallelujah. Look where that message of grace was. Look where that message of grace was bringing deliverance. Look, the hour is coming in the days after the prophet Elijah. Amen. Glory. Among the 7,000 who bowed on the knees, who were standing there, believing that word. Oh, my. They didn't have to go into captivity. They broke the power of it. Because they found God provided a way. They found a way greater than their creditor. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, my. Let's sing another one. Long ago, long on my knees, long ago I said, girl, the old account is settled long ago, amen. 288, amen, let's pay up some debts here tonight. Line up and pay up your debts tonight. Glory be to God in the highest, amen. Got an empty hour, come for a real filling now, amen. This is Jubilee time, amen. There's emancipation, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, amen. There's the outpouring of the oil. There's the call for empty vessels before the door is shut. the records clear today. No debts owed. Hallelujah. Isn't it going to be free from condemnation? Yeah, today. Oh, the all accomplished large. A lot of debts, amen.
And ruin every deed. I was always sin. I never tried to be. When I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe,
I said that I will settle. The judgment bar. I stand before my king. Long ago, down on my knees. Hallelujah. Thank you for grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you for your redeeming love. Thank you for loosening us from the dead, Father. Thank you, Lord, for clearing our record, making the pages white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, we can stand without condemnation tonight. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank you, we can stand justified. Hallelujah, freely justified. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's bow our heads. Let's just use the cross. He paid the debt. He did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. Let's get ready to close. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Amen. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just sing it.
He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace.
Hallelujah.
Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Oh, let's have our hands all along the building and sing it once more. He paid the debt. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious love, Father. Hallelujah. Unworthy as we are, dear God, we found favor in your sight. Hallelujah. You look beyond our faults and you show our needs, Lord. We appreciate that tonight. God, you took us out to the miry clay. Now you put a song in our soul.
Amazing grace, all day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I ought.
Sing it once more. I've been invited by the Samuel Johnson to come and pray.
He paid the debt.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loses from the debt of that furniture. He gives us enough to live on. We'll never have to go back into captivity anymore.
To wash my sins away.
Oh, receive the pardoning grace of the living word tonight. A pardon is not a pardon unless accepted as a pardon.
Amazing grace. Christ Jesus.
Amen. Do you know the song? Do we know grace? Do you know grace? Amazing grace.
Do you know grace?
Amen. You know it? You want to begin? All right. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. You look beyond my fault and saw my need. God bless you tonight. Certainly happy to be in his house tonight and enjoy the riches of his grace. May it keep you faithful, keep you obedient, keep you believing, keep you expecting. It's a great time. Just draw in all that God has in store for you.
God, Brother Cam, God bless you.
Hallelujah, amazing grace, always be. Amazing grace. Shouted from the mountains and the valleys.